Father God, we do just ask you for your grace this morning. Thank you for what you have done in us and for what you will do through us. And so, God, we ask this morning that you would be with us as we open your word, as we partake of the bread of life that we just sung. And, Father, that we will indeed live, Father, not just survive, but that we might live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what that was. It was a little eraser I picked up or something. But anyhow, it's good to see you. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want to say a special welcome to you. And thank you for visiting with us this morning. We're going to be in the book of James, chapter 1, continuing our study through the book of James, a faith that works. And so go ahead and make your way to James, chapter 1. But this week's been kind of a big week in my life and in Sarah's life, just in the life of our family. We celebrated our 8-year anniversary for us on this past Tuesday, so we're excited about that. 8 years ago this past Tuesday, my life got a whole lot better, so happy about that. And then on Monday, the day before that, our oldest began kindergarten, so it was kind of some life markers in our life this week, and so kind of a sentimental week, you know. Really excited about the next stage of what's about to happen, but kind of sentimental. You know, those preschool days, they're over, never coming back. So a little sentimental. So Sarah and I were just kind of watching television one night, hanging out with that going on. And we were flipping channels, and we came across the show Hoarders. Have you guys ever seen Hoarders? Yeah, if you've never seen it, it's pretty gross, actually, in a lot of ways. A little disgusting. In a lot of ways. And what it is some people, and God help them. I mean, I think some of them really do have some mental disabilities or something. But they walk, it's hoarders. It's about their homes or the outside of their homes. And what the people do is they've accumulated, like, a lot of stuff. And I know maybe all of us have a little bit of a tendency to be a pack rat because we think Murphy's Law is true. And as soon as I get rid of it, I'm going to need it. But these people take it to just a whole another level. And you walk into their homes and you cannot go in rooms. I mean, it is just full of junk or trash. And you have to kind of scoot along the hallways to get one place. And it's just packed, just disgusting nastiness. I was smiling because someone was pointing at their spouse. So, but it's very, very disgusting. So anyhow, what they do with this show is people come and they try to help them. So they get some psychiatrists to come and they get some professional organizers and some professional cleaners. And they all come and they want to help the people. And so the first thing that they've got to get them to do, though, is to acknowledge that this is a problem. Like, this isn't normal. This isn't good. You can't live like this. So they try to just get them to hear the fact that there's an issue here. And then they try to move that from just kind of an intellectual assent of, okay, I have a problem, to a heartfelt acceptance and reception of that, okay, I really do have it. And if they get that, if you really receive that, if the hoarder really receives it, then they'll move to doing something about it. And in the book of James here, in chapter 1, verses 19 through 25, that's kind of what we find James doing. He's been talking about the good gifts that God gives, that every good and perfect gift is from the Lord and is from above, and that the central part of that is the gospel. It's Christ. It's that we've been brought forth by the word of truth, that we didn't get what we deserve. Instead, we get God's goodness. We get the grace. That what we deserve, eternal punishment, Christ paid that through his life, death, burial, resurrection. Now we are forgiven. Not only are we forgiven, but we're seen as righteous in Christ. Not only seen as righteous in Christ, but we're adopted into his family. So we can call him our papa. There's an intimacy here. So not only that, so he's been talking about all of that. But then in verse 19, he moves from talking about you know, salvation that's found in the word to living according to the word. And so he just says, hey, look, the way you need to do this is continue hearing it. You need to hear the word. You need to receive the word. And you need to do the word, just like we talked about with the hoarder. So nothing really fancy, but that's exactly where we're going to go today. We're going to talk about the need for us to hear the word, to receive the word, and to do the word. So if you have your Bibles, join me, James chapter 1. Let's just read, and then let's see what the Lord has for us this morning. Chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. All right, so number one, okay, again, we're going to talk about hearing the word, you know, receiving the word, and doing the word. So the first step in living according to the word is to hear the word. And so look at verse 19 again. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. Quick to hear what? Verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. So quick to hear the word of truth. So James is saying, look, if you are a believer, you know the gospel. Okay, you've heard the gospel. And so knowing this, keep on hearing it. And have the attitude of one who is quick to hear. One who readily hears, who comes expectantly and eagerly to the word, ready to hear from them. And then he gives two qualifiers of what being quick to hear also encompasses, which is being slow to speak and slow to anger. Okay, so slow to speak. You need to be quick to hear, slow to speak. And so he says, being slow to speak, what this kind of has in mind here is that you don't come to the word, and by the word I'm meaning the Bible right now, you don't come to the word with your preconceived ideas about what you want it to say, what you want to get out of it, what you want to find in it. You come lip-sealed to hear. Not searching for, let me see if I can find, here's what I want to do. I know what I want to do. Let me go, maybe in Zephaniah there's something that says that. No, you come to the word to hear from it, to listen to it. And you don't come and you read it and when the word just blows you up, because that's what it will do. If you come to the word to hear from it, it is just going to blow you up. And it's going to show, you know, these aspects of your life here, these are out of bounds for a believer. This is, you don't walk in this. Don't live. And it's going to blow you up. He's saying, don't get mad about that. That's certainly not going to produce the righteousness that is from God. But hear the word and it will. Okay, and we're not talking righteousness is in the sense of salvation, but in the sense of right walking with the Lord, living according to His standards. Let me explain it. I think I can explain it better with going back to hoarders for a minute. With hoarders, again, the first thing they've got to try to do is get them to understand that you have a problem. And so they're trying to get them to hear, hey, I do have a problem. But the hoarder a lot of times has a very hard time hearing that because they don't want to hear it. And so what they wind up doing is actually kind of reversing some of this that we just read. Instead of being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, they become slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger. Taking it back to us, though. When we come to the Word, a lot of times we'll do the same thing. Whether that's personal Bible study, Bible, or coming in here. So just let me ask yourself, when I come to the Word, when I come to hear, am I quick to hear? Do I have an attitude of expectancy and eagerness to hear? Or am I slow to hear? But man, am I quick to get angry? And am I quick to speak my own opinions over the Word? Okay, so the call here is for us not to be like a hoarder who refuses to listen, but for us to hear the word. God has given us, remember, He's a good and loving God who gives every good and perfect gift, and He's given us the gift of His word to live in His ways for His glory and for our good. It's a good gift. So come to the word to hear. So the first thing we need to do is hear. But it can't just stop at hearing, because if it's just this intellectual sin, it's not gonna go. And we have to receive it. We have to receive it. And so look with me at verse 21 again. Moving from hearing the word to receive the word. Verse 21, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Okay, so he's saying, look, therefore, because you're a believer, because you've listened to it, truly accept it. Truly accept it and put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Put away. All right, the Greek kind of has the idea here of taking off your dirty clothes and putting on some new ones. All right, not taking off your dirty clothes and cleaning them up and putting them back on, but getting rid of them and putting on some new ones. So the text that John read out of Ephesians 4 is echoed in Colossians 3. I'm going to read it at length. Listen. If then you have been raised with Christ, okay, so if you have been raised with Christ, if you have received the free gift of salvation that he offers based on his life, death, burial, and resurrection, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. So we're talking to believers here. Seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, so here we go, taking off. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, so put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and in its place, verse 21 again, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. All right, again, hoarders. The key, moving from just hearing to an actual reception, all right, to a heartfelt reception of that. And Sarah and I were watching again, like I said, this past week, we were watching this show, and the one that we happened to see was disgustingly disgusting. I mean, it was really bad. It was a lady, and she had in her house, she loved pumpkins. They were just rotting away on the floor. I don't know if y'all saw that. She just left them on the floor. They just rotted away. And they had professional cleaners and everything come in, and they came in and they came to her fridge and they opened the fridge. They've got on like masks and everything, and they opened the fridge and they ran outside. Because it was that bad. Juices and... We'll just stop because y'all got lunch coming, so we won't. But horribly, horribly disgusting. And there was something growing, all right? There was something growing in one of the drawers, very thick, and it was alive and growing. And so, I'm not kidding. I mean, you can go pull it up on YouTube or something. It was nasty. So anyhow, they're talking to her about, you know, hearing this problem, hear this, and she's hearing them, but she's not receiving it, because this is her reply. I wrote it down. Me and Sarah, I was like, this, I wrote it down. I know I have a microbial problem here. I'm an engineer, after all, and look at things rather scientifically, okay? As she is arguing with them about throwing out some sour cream with an expiration date of January 2007. Okay, it's swollen. It's puffed up. All right? And think, January 2007. That's older than Clarius. And she's,
I know I got a microbial problem in here, but
don't throw that away. That might be good, you know. And remember, it's sour cream. Sour cream means the cream's already soured. And so, sour cream. I mean, I don't know what, you know, thing of death lurks in that container, but she's not going to get that out and put it on her quesadillas. You're not going to go there. All right? But she was hearing it. She was hearing them. You got a problem. And she was even, you know, somewhat trying to, it's a microbial issue, But she was not receiving it because she wouldn't take action on it. She wouldn't follow up on that. She wouldn't do anything with it. So she was just hearing. She was not receiving. And so the call from James is don't just hear, but to actually receive. And receive has the idea of welcoming. Like you're welcoming the word. Sort of like if you have some friends that are going to come over, you welcome. Not like your in-laws when they come to the mat and you're like, welcome, so glad to see you. And you roll your eyes. But truly welcoming. You're glad they're there. You're eager to welcome them into your house. That's the idea here. And with meekness or humility, accepting with humility, the idea of teachability, the idea of not coming to the word with suspicion, like, I don't know if this is really going to be good for me or not. I don't know if I really like this or not. But coming with a teachable spirit, a humble spirit. Not with the not coming partially, like, I'll accept this, but not accept this. Not coming cocky and self-assuring, like, oh, I can take care of the word. I don't need any. But coming humble in humility and teachable. Hearing from the word and receiving it. Meekness and humility. Not just reading the word, but letting the word read you and search you and call out those areas. Hey, as one who is in Christ, this is, you need to do something. You need to work on this. All right? So, receiving it humbly, humility, meekness. But look again at verse 21. It's kind of interesting. How does he describe the word here? It doesn't just say word. He says implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So, keeping the word, I can save my life? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the full culmination of our salvation. When Christ returns again and everything, he brings the new heavens and the new earth and everything's culminated in him, the word will preserve us to that day. So, that's what he's talking about there. But what is this implanted word? What is he talking about? Implanted word. Well, it goes back to verse 18 again. This is why it's so important when you're studying that you get context. Both sides. When you're studying a passage, study both sides of that. You've got to get the context. So what he's talking about with the implanted word, it's what happened in verse 18. That you're brought forth by the word of truth. And that this gospel has been born inside of you. Okay, God brought us forth by the word of truth. That God has saved us. He's talking to believers here. That God has saved us. That we deserve eternal punishment. But again, in its place, based upon the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we get forgiveness of sins. Not only forgiveness of sins and like a clean slate, but we're imputed with the righteousness of God. He puts that onto us and sees us as in Christ. Not only that, he adopts us into his family, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Okay, that has a paternal aspect to it. It's like Papa. It's endearing. So while God is transcendent, King of the universe, sovereign over all things, he's also immanent. And really he knows you. He knows your name. He knows what's going on with you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the days that are set before you before any of them were even lived. It tells us in Psalm 139. So he's imminent, close at hand. He knows us. He's not just your co-pilot, okay? If he's your co-pilot, you need to change seats. Pilot. Okay, he's close with us. And this word that's been born into us, this gospel that's been birthed into us, it is implanted in us. It's not something that comes and goes. It's something that's in us. It's part of us. And so the point here is that the word is implanted in us. And so the word that saved us, you can't just do away with it after conversion as if it's not important anymore. Like just, I don't need to pay attention. I got my insurance card here and I'll just go do what I... No, but the word, it's implanted into... So if you're truly converted, I'll say it like this. If you have been truly converted, the word that has been implanted in you, okay, the gospel, If you're truly converted, it will stir you up for God's external word, the Bible, and cause you to receive it more and more and more eagerly, welcoming it, allowing it to influence every aspect of your life and indeed take root in your life, a deep-seated reception. So there are no closets. No closets of, I'll give you every little area of my life, God, but not this bitterness, not this lust issue, not this lack of trust issue, not this materialism, not this, this is mine. And it, I get comfort by being able to be bitter at them. This is mine, I don't care what you say, this is mine, you can't have this. No closets. We allow the word, a true believer, someone who's been born again and is living and walking according to the word, demonstrates their transformation by their reception and acceptance of the word as their authority and guide for life. So receive the word. And let me kind of bring this to maybe how this hits home for us for a minute. If the word of God does not rank at least among your most cherished possessions, we need to do a little reality check in our lives. Now, some of us, we go home and we've got like 274 Bibles at home. Every color, every translation. But do you have one that you open throughout the week? Do you have one that you study? That you're hearing from daily? That you're receiving? Do you have one? Because nothing apart from God Himself is as important or powerful as the Word of God. And so if it's not important to you, and you call yourself a believer, you got to do a reality check. Am I really? Did I just pray a prayer at camp because they sang "Just as I Am" 74 times and said they wouldn't shut up until I came forward? Or did I really convert to Christ? At the least, if it's not important to us, we need to do some hoarder-like spiritual house cleaning. So Read your Bible, but don't just read it. We're talking about receiving, because there's a way to read your Bible and receive it, and there's a way to read your Bible and resent it. Come to the Bible to receive. Ready, humility, meekness. Pour into me, God. Speak, teach me. And let me be transformed. And so how will you know then if you really received it? How will you know if you really did receive it and you hadn't just heard it? You'll do it. And so, number one, living according to the word, hear it. Number two, receive it. Number three, do it. Okay? So, look with me, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Okay? Verse 22 again. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So James is kind of hitting it pretty hard here, and he's saying, look, if you're just a hearer and you're not a doer, you may be deceiving yourselves about the fact that if you're a believer or not. Because it's not about just hearing, it's about doing. Okay, the mark of genuine being a Christian is obedience. That's why Jesus says in Luke 11:28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And then Jesus talks in John 14 and 15 repeatedly about, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you will abide in me, you will abide in my word. You will abide in these things. And so Jesus, who highlights over and over and over again the sovereign grace of God in salvation, equally highlights the fact that obedience is a huge mark of our lives and that we are called to a world-renouncing, radical obedience to Him. And so James is hitting it pretty hard here by saying, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if you're just a hearer only, maybe you're just deceived. And so, like any good author, then he gives us an illustration. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. All right, so this guy, all right, let's keep, I want to keep up with this guy. he starts off well. He starts off very well. Because look, he says in verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer," so he starts off well. He's a hearer. That's a good thing. All right, he starts off well. But he's not a doer. And so he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. And so the guy, he looks into the mirror. He looks into the word, okay? He's heard the word. He's a hearer of the word. We just saw that. So he looks into the mirror and sees his face. All right, and a mirror doesn't lie. You look in the mirror and it tells you what you need to do to your face. A little Botox over here, you know, a little Zit cream over here. I'm like 16, so I'm still using OxyClean right here. But he looks into the word, he looks into this mirror, and then he forgets something needs to be done to the face, and then he walks away and forgets about it. It's not important to him, so he doesn't really do anything with it. He goes away and he does nothing, because it's not really important to him. Back to the hoarders, this is kind of sadly the way that many of them, it's where the show ends up sometimes. They hear that there's a problem, but they won't put in an effort. They won't actually do anything. Some of them would rather go to jail than remove one of the 74 Camaros in their front yard. And some of us would rather be gripped by materialism than sacrifice one thing for the cause of Christ. Gripped in the throes of materialism than willing to sacrifice one thing for the cause of Christ. Okay, so this guy, he starts off well. He's a hearer, but the problem is he's not a doer. And so he contrasts, we're going to contrast this deceived hearer only with the man in verse 25. Look at verse 25. "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Okay, so the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and this is just a fuller way of describing the word of truth, verse 18, the implanted word, verse 21, the word, verse 22, but this is the perfect law, so it's encompassing, and he says law here instead of word, so it's encompassing the whole Old Testament scriptures, but it's now perfect, and includes the teachings of Christ, who is the perfect fulfillment of the Old Testament. So we're talking the whole Bible here, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and what's the next word for some of you? Perseveres. Some of you may have keeps it or does it or something like that. Perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. So the idea here is he looks into the mirror, he looks into the law, the perfect law, he looks into it and he does it. He looks into it and then he does it. And then he looks into it some more and then he does it some more. And then he looks. It's a continual looking and doing, looking and doing, looking and doing. Another way of putting it is hearing, receiving, and then doing it. Hearing, receiving, and then doing it. So in comparing these two guys, I think James kind of hits on an age-old equation. And the equation is this. Stated belief plus actual practice equals actual belief. Okay? Your stated belief, this is what I believe, I'm speaking this, this is what I believe, plus the way you actually live your life equals what you actually believe. So are we hearers and doers only? Are we hearers only? Or are we also doers? Stated belief, actual practice equals actual belief. If you hear the word and you receive it, like the man in verse 25, you will do it. So the call is clear for us. The call is not to stop hearing. That's a good thing. But the call is to receive it and do it. To put into place. We don't need 1,000 other conferences about why we're not doing enough. We need to do what we know we need to do. We need to step up to the plate. We need to get in the game. We need to walk the talk. We need to practice what we preach. We need to live it. We need to do these things. We don't need to be like the vast majority of hoarders who hear intellectually up here, but it never takes root. It never comes out. We let it take root and then we live it. Okay, so we hear the word, receive the word, and do the word. Because there is a world of difference between reading a menu and eating a full meal. We want to eat the meal. We want to do the word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for how it convicts us if we come to it humbly, quick to hear it. And so, Father, I pray that now in these moments as we contemplate what you have done, even in these moments as we've heard from you studying your scripture, we pray that you will search us, that by your Spirit you will open our eyes to truth about us. Whatever that may be, for all of us, it's going to be a little different. But for all of us, there is something you're highlighting today. Some need. Something you want to do in us or through us. So, Father, help us to respond. In the name of Christ, amen.